ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट 37 चैप्टर टाइटल आइडियल फैमिली लाइफ। पुराण्येन सृष्टानि मृत्रिर्यगृषिदेवता शेतजीवेन रूपेण पुरेषु पुरुषो यसो। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the Supreme Personality of Godhead has created many residential places like the bodies of human beings, animals, birds, saints and demigods. In all of these innumerable bodily forms, the Lord resides with the living being as Paramatma. Thus He is known as the Purushavatara. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, 61st verse, it is said, Ishvara sarva bhutanam ridadheshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra ruddhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. The living entity who is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead exists on the mercy of the Lord who is always with him in any form of body. The living entity desires a particular type of material enjoyment and thus the Lord supplies him with a body which is like a machine. Just to keep him alive in that body, the Lord remains with him as the Purusha, Shirodhakshay Vishnu. This is also confirmed in Brahma Samhita, Yeko paso rachayitam jagadanda kotim, yachakti rasti jagadanda chayayadanta, andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam, govindam adi purusham tam aham bhajami. I worship the personality of God at Govinda, who enters the existence of every universe and every atom by one of his plenary portions, and thus manifests his infinite energy throughout the material creation. The living entity, being part and parcel of the Lord, is known as Jiva. The Supreme Lord Purusha remains with the Jiva to enable him to enjoy material facilities. Hare Krishna. So this is conversation going on between Narada Muni and King Yudhishthir. We all know King Yudhishthir Maharaj is not an ordinary householder. In this chapter titled Ideal Family Life, after speaking to him several responsibilities, the significance, the role of husband, wife, the duties, and so many other activities, a householder, so many responsibilities. Why all these responsibilities? Because it is very natural that a person in family life, he forgets the purpose of life, he loses what exactly is the goal of life, he gets entangled, he may perform all his duties, he may be very nice householder taking care of his family, but he'll forget for what he's doing it for. What is his connection? What is his purpose? He may be living in the mode of goodness and he may get attached to the mode of goodness. Everything will be peaceful and happy. But what is the use? If you're not connected, if you're forgotten, then whom you are dependent on? Ultimately, where everything is coming from? So Narada Muni is bringing out this point, like in the previous verse, he said ultimately everything, the source of everything, source of all the living entities in this universe, The universe is like a tree and the root of the tree is Krishna. Everything is coming from him. So in this ashram, a person should be very eager to always, never to forget worship the source of everything, that is Lord Krishna. And in this verse, Narada Muni is mentioning about how the Lord is merciful, how he has expanded himself because of his merciful nature to be always with that soul which has rebelled, has gone away. And according to his desires, he is so merciful that he is also providing all facilities for him to enjoy. You have this type of desires? Okay, you take this body. You have this type of desires? You take this body. And same time, he is also coming along with him. Not just coming along with him. He is the closest possible person we have. You can't even think of. How is it that he is the closest possible person? Closest means always next to us. In this material world also we develop relationship and we develop some affection, we have some attachment and we have proximity. And we think that that is closeness. But no one can be so close to us like the Lord who is so close. Then the question arises, then what went wrong? If a person is so close, that how is it that we are not even aware of it? So this is the power of our habits which we have habituated for time immemorial. And now, even after trying hard, even after understanding, even if you know the knowledge, even if you have association, but it's so difficult to be aware of that. Paramatma is the one who is we are dependent on. The truth is that we are all dependent. Even where I am sitting now, I am dependent. I am sitting on this asana. This body is dependent on this. And this is dependent on the floor. And the floor is dependent on the building. And the building is dependent on the foundation. The foundation is dependent on the earth. And the earth, the planet is dependent on. Ultimately, everything is dependent on that Supreme Lord. So never there is a moment in life that we are not dependent. We may wonder that. Of course, it is actually to even to get sleep, we are dependent. Unless the Paramatma sanctions, you cannot sleep. And there are people who have such struggle they have. They can't sleep. We can't explain. I mean, physiologically, there may be some explanation, this, he's stressed and this and that. But the truth is, Paramatma, if he doesn't want you to sleep, you cannot sleep. It's on. You do whatever. And same time, you think to wake up, we can wake up on our own? Unless he wakes us up, you cannot wake up. You can keep alarm, you can try everything. But if he wants, no, you are not going to get up. Sleep. And what to speak about the memory. Recently, I myself had a personal experience. I don't mind mentioning. Sanat Kumar Prabhu, I know him for so many years. And I had to write his name. And he's standing in front of me. And I'm looking at him and trying to write down his name. I could not remember his name. And he's looking at me and he's laughing. I know it is something, Sanat. He's laughing. Says, ne, Niko, liko, Nand Kishore. I said, no. It's not Nand Kishore. It is something, Sanak. He's laughing. And I could not remember. So embarrassing it is. He started saying, ne, aisa hota hai. No, you have not met me for a long time. So I remember. So you just imagine the so just off, and this is Paramatma. If he wants, he can remind us. So I was talking just because I meet doctors. So I was talking to a neurologist. What is this? You know why it happens like this? So he said, oh, that is very normal. Don't worry. You are telling me this is normal. It is called anosmia. It is one part of the brain which... I said, but why? Like, where does it come from? Yeah, of course, there is no answer. So you may be a very advanced neurologist. You have all the knowledge, but no one knows that there is Paramatma inside. And he is the closest person. If he wants, he can... We are dependent on everything. We may move our hand like this or do like this and think, I am doing it, independent. No time. He can just collapse. And of course, doctors can give explanation, this may have happened, that may happen. But there are so many cases where no one can explain. Why does it happen? So here it is mentioned that the Lord resides with the living being as Paramatma. He is there. We can't perceive. We can't see Him. But He can see everything. He is a witness. He is an overseer. Upadrista, Hanumanta. Everything. What to speak about? He is the one who decides at the time of death. Everything He has record of. So when we become a little sensitive to this, then our behavior, our actions, what we talk, what we speak, because we are a little sensitized, so we are always aware of it. I should not be. But it is not a very easy thing. In spite of all this knowledge, it is a spiritual master who makes us aware of it. That is why it is said, Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Guruvena. It is a spiritual master with a torchlight of knowledge, born in ignorance. He gives us an idea about there is Paramatma all pervading everywhere. He is present in all living entities. But in spite of that, that real awareness, sensitization, needs lots and lots and lots of training. So even Kunti Maharani prays that how you are present within and without, and you are present in between atoms and within the atom, and you are everywhere, but you cannot be perceived. The Lord Himself says in Bhagavad Gita, I am all pervading in the form of hands, legs, eyes, everywhere. Himself says that. So in this situation, where even in coming in contact with the devotees, with the spiritual master's mercy, why is it that we are not so aware? We are aware, but we are not so aware of it. We don't always think about, or that conscious is not there. That conscience, we are not aware of it. The reason is because even though we know it, it is said that the first thing, the first understanding or realization or experience that Paramatma is there, I think we all will agree, is guilt. This is the divine grace, the gift actually, to have guilt. If we have done something wrong, now there is guilt. Now, is this guilt good or bad? It's good or bad, this is. Prabhu is saying it is bad. What do you think about this guilt? Is it good or bad? I said it's a gift. It's mercy. So it's definitely it is good. How do you understand that it is good? Just like this, in material world, pain is there. Isn't it pain? Now pain is something which no one likes. There are pain management clinics. There are now some specialties who are pain management experts. People in the Western world, they look down upon us that you people, why don't you control the pain? There are so many drugs available just to manage the pain. That means pain is not good. Why should there be pain? But if you see a little overall, perspective of, because pain is there, there is some restriction. You can see it at a different level. For example, if there is a fracture, you hurt your leg and you broke your leg. Suppose if there was no pain, what would happen? A man would have continued walking or dancing and walking. There is no pain. And what would have been the result? The result would have been disastrous. Same thing is fire. Because there is pain, we withdraw. If there was no pain, we would have kept the hand. Hand would have got totally burnt, finished. So guilt is the beginning of that protection, that mercy, which is again coming from Paramatma. And that is the initial, some realization. Yes, the Lord is there in my heart. If you not know, but He is there. He is guiding. But it is not so easy to even hear that, because there are so many other voices being heard, so you may not be able to pick up that voice. So many voices are heard. So many times, even if that voice comes, then we may think that it is Paramatma's voice, or it may be actually Maya's voice. So the Shastra says that whatever voice we hear, it has to be confirmed externally with the spiritual master, because he is external manifestation of that Paramatma. He is not different from that Paramatma. He is physically available, close proximity. We can't perceive Paramatma, but we can see spiritual master. He check with him, he check with the Shastra, we check, see that all the saintly persons, what they have said, and then it is confirmed. Otherwise, the tendency is, sometimes the voice from within may give some ideas which may make us feel that, no, I have understood everything. And that can lead to sahajiya mentality. There is no question about verifying. Prematurely, even if you don't have the qualification, a person may start thinking that he is very advanced. That is not different from, it can go to the extent that you have a very intimate relationship with the Spirit, with the Lord. But actually, you are not. It's very artificial situation, just like a mango. Actually, it is very raw. But if you beat artificially and make it very soft and see the juices are coming and say, that, no, this is a ripe mango. Is it a ripe mango? It's not a ripe mango. It's a very artificial thing. So this is how the Paramatma is very merciful in this situation. It knows that we cannot perceive. We cannot perceive through His eyes. We cannot perceive His presence here. So He also comes in this form. He comes in the form of Archa Vigraha. He comes in the form of holy name. He comes in the form of words, scriptures. And He also comes in the form of devotees. So externally we can focus what we cannot see. We can focus on these things. That is, focus on the holy name. Focus on that same Paramatma who is seen as Archa Vigraha. He is also waiting. Isn't he waiting? He is just waiting for us. That when are we going to turn towards him? And the Upanishads, they give that example of how there are two birds on the tree. One bird is very busy. Very busy, sometimes sweet, sometimes bitter results of his activities. And the bird which is just waiting, it is said, is just waiting. Just you turn once towards me and I will shower all the mercy and I'll embrace you. He's waiting to embrace us. It is our own sweet will that we have been rebellious in spite of knowing all this, not turning towards him. Because of the desires what we have cultivated for so many millions of years, it doesn't go. But the solution is same. Go on this process of purification. The holy name is one of the easiest way of reminding us about that presence of Paramatma in His heart. His form is available in the form of His holy name, easily available anywhere, any place, any time. And Archa Vigraha, where we can focus our mind on. And what to speak about association of devotees and hearing kathas. So this way, the vision changes. So this is the advanced perception of that same Paramatma. It is said, the vision when it changes, What does it happen? You can see the God, see Lord. Chanakya Pandit says there are three things when your vision changes. One thing, your vision changes means you see others' property as dirt. This is a very advanced vision. You see others' wealth as good as dirt. So we know what is a vision. If you are envious of others' wealth, then my vision is not good. And you treat all other living entities or see all other living entities as yourself. Then you handle them. And also it is said that to see all the women as mothers, except your wife. Your wife remains wife, but all other women. Now this is also perception of. So awakening of that vision is not something that I can see the Lord in this 400 form. So this is a sign of progress. So in spite of all our determination and knowledge, sometimes we have this problem that I understood, I am feeling guilty, but still I cannot follow it. I still commit the same mistakes. I know that Paramatma is watching. I know I am responsible. But then the same mistakes happens. There is a saying in English that to commit mistake is not a mistake. But to repeat the mistake is the greatest mistake. To mistake is, to err is human mistakes, but to commit the same mistake. So the question is why? Why does it happen? I know this is not to be done, so still I do it. So the explanation given is because we have cultivated this habit for so many years, so we have developed a momentum. You know, momentum means there is speed is already there. And now even if you slow down because of the inertia, it is going on. The example given is the car which is in full speed, it has to stop. You apply brake, but it will not immediately stop. It will take some distance before it stops. So even if you are taken to this process, we are doing all those things. But those things still are there. They are pushing us. The urge is there. It's pushing us. So, but devotional service is so powerful. It is so powerful that it can stop in one stroke also. The case of Jagai and Madhai. Where was the momentum? What happened to that inertia, everything? One stroke. In one stroke they became devotees. Of course they... But once they took shelter, once they surrendered, once they, their guilt was really genuine, then they became devotees. So Prabhupada's example is given that to just emphasize the point that how devotional service is very powerful. Anyone who takes to devotional service, the same inertia or momentum of so many years we have carried, that urge which is forcing, can be stopped instantly. There are many other processes also for the same purpose, but it takes a lot of time to stop. But devotional service is... So how do we know that Prabhupada's life history, that famous incident where Prabhupada was preaching to people who were from birth sinful, right from childhood and teenage and adults, and when he was preaching they were already 22-23 years. That means 22-23 years already in this life of many sinful activities, and they met Prabhupada. And those who are sincere, who accepted instantly, completely. You see the devotees, just 2 months in the moment, 6 months in the moment, and see the way their articles and the way they preach and the determination to go to any place and open temples and risking their life and all, instantly. So that famous example where Prabhupada was sitting with all his, how how that power of Paramatma is manifesting through the spiritual master. It is so powerful. It is not different from Paramatma directly. It's really a miracle. Actually, it's a miracle if things happen like this. It's a miracle. And all the tendencies are. So once when Prabhupada is sitting with all his Western disciples, boys and girls, young, so this reporter asks Prabhupada, Swamiji, you have come from India, so can you show some miracle? Obviously, you know, this is a tendency when they meet some Swamiji, ask for some miracle. Miracle means something supernatural. So Prabhupada said, yes, I will and I can show. So the reporter was very much enlivened that he thought that, well, he's going to create some ash or he's going to rise above his asana or he's going to do something. So he was very eagerly waiting for Prabhupada's answer, and Prabhupada showed him. You can see these boys and girls. They were into all type of sinful activities. And now, look at them. They are living a very pure life, following four regulative principles, reading scriptures, following Ekadashi. Living a pure life. So this is miracle. So that same Paramatma who is very merciful, he comes in different forms, guiding us, is available as spiritual master. So perfection of life is to please that spiritual master. So once spiritual master is pleased, all these type of tendencies, which is insurmountable. But we have assurance that mukam karoti vachalam, isn't it? It is said that those who are dumb, they can speak, and who is lame, he can walk. How we can do that? Because of the mercy of spiritual master. So if spiritual master's instructions are followed, that is the beginning of overcoming these type of problem. So one sense, very easy. So this is the power of devotional service, to be taken seriously, so that we can then pursue Paramatma, who is otherwise very difficult to perceive, who is very close, very proximity, very close. Prabhupada said that the Westerners, they are so far away from Krishna. And these Indians are so close to Krishna because of their culture, you know, their knowledge and all those samskaras. But these Indians are turning away and looking there. And those Westerners who are far away, they are looking here and they are coming this side. And you are going that side. So this is the misfortune of things when it is taken for granted. When it is easily available, so everything becomes. So we hope we help each other by reminding each other in the association that it is easily available. We have to just follow it. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I think we have some time. If we can ask, can ask questions. If there is any questions. Krishna. Yes.
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for a very nice class. You mentioned in the beginning that we understand that we are completely dependent on the Paramatma. But even though we may be practicing Krishna consciousness, you know, somehow when it comes to our family members, particularly when it is, you know, some calamity comes in our life or some distress comes in our life, at that time, we do not take shelter of Krishna. We do not think that we are, that everything is dependent, or we are dependent on the Paramatma. So the philosophy is clear, but only just that the circumstances make us think that, you know, the family needs us. There is so much of, you know, pressure that is put on us because of the family members and everything, you know, to such an extent that even sometimes we reduce our practice of Krishna consciousness, or not reduce, but maybe, you know, the quality gets affected because we are so much in anxiety, and particularly in a family situation, because we are reading about this chapter of ideal family life. So why does that happen, and how does one, you know, somehow or the other ensure that we remember that we are completely dependent at such times?
We should remember one thing, that devotional service is not here to make our material life comfortable. Once His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, I mean, very clearly said, oh, if you have come here to think that, well, now I am following this, my material life will be comfortable, then you have come to the wrong place. Very much, very straight. So material problems, reversals, but how to see in that all inauspicious condition that it is auspicious? Now this needs really a vision. It's very easy to say that, oh, it is auspicious, you should see it. It is inauspicious, what you are saying. So many things. I mean, I don't want to know what exactly, but it's something inauspicious. So once he said very nicely, sometimes some statements are so profound. This was spoken by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He said, if any inauspicious things, if it takes you closer to Krishna, then it is the most auspicious thing which has happened. And the so-called auspicious thing of this world, which people crave for, if it is taking you away, like we heard, you know, where is Paramatma? I am not dependent, I am independent, you know, my activities, I am doing it. If it is that auspicious that I am doing it, you know, which is what all the world respects you, it's taking you away from Krishna, then that is the most inauspicious thing. I think this sometimes, just to keep, so what is, that means going closer to Krishna is the only auspicious thing. So to go closer to Krishna when everything is going on nice, it's not so easy. Is it? Everything is going the way I am going on. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Everything nice. Everyone is nice, respecting. No one has insulted me. No one has falsely accused me. People have misunderstood me. Everyone is, everything going on. I'm nice devotee. But sometimes it'll come in between. You're shocked. People neglect you. They insult you. You're misunderstood. You're criticized. What to speak about losing wealth or so many other ways, health, wealth, dear ones, sickness, cancer, so many things can come. So these are all the level of faith we have, that Krishna is ultimately the controller. We know, we have heard this, nothing, we all heard that, right? Krishna is in control. We say it very nicely when we preach to others, don't worry Prabhu, Krishna is in control. How much I have realized that, you know, Krishna is in control. Of course, it's a very important thing that we should realize. It's our responsibility that we should realize. We can't say that, well, I'm not a very advanced devotee, so what can I do? But what I'm preaching is very correct. No? See, Krishna is in control. But it is very important that we also should, and that opportunity is there. Like once, someone asked this in Bhagavatam class, this question, that sometimes we tell, you know, people who are in trouble, we say them, Prabhu, don't worry, just chant. But then in my heart, I know that, my God, do I have the faith in holy name? Because I just chant. But I tell others, you chant, everything will be all right. So he said that if we don't, the question asked is, Maharaj, but I don't have faith myself, but I tell others. So he didn't say that it's okay, yeah, okay, but keep telling others. Just keep telling others, that is okay, you are speaking the truth. He didn't say like that. He says, if you don't have faith, then cultivate faith. Because you have not cultivated faith
it's a crime on others. Because you don't have faith, you are not able to help others. Because if we don't have faith, what help you are going to do help? How much can we just speak? No, these are all dry words. So people will come for help, provided we also are taking proper shelter, and then we can help. Purity is the force. The degree we have that faith, it can penetrate them. But still, that one shloka which is there in Bhagavad Gita, I mean, it's again for us very much, we preach whenever there is an occasion, especially when someone has to talk about peace. We say this is peace formula. And it is peace formula, of course. And we all know that words, right? Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva lokamaheshwaram surudham sarva bhutanam jnatvam shantim richyati. In all situations in life, now if these words, what does it mean? Bhoktaram yagya tapasam. Now he is the enjoyer. I am not the enjoyer. The degree we have that understanding that I am the enjoyer, to that degree we'll have to suffer. Because the degree we think I am the enjoyer, to that degree nothing will happen in this world the way we want. So obviously we are going to suffer. But if he is the enjoyer, everything is happening. And he is the proprietor of everything. Everything. Including our bank balance. I mean, something which we don't want to show it. But he's the proprietor of even that. I will show it, you know. I don't want to show it. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. But the last one is very important. Surudham. Surudham means he is friend. Now you tell me, if he is our friend, now this is something very profound, you know, just speaking friend. If he's a friend, will a friend do anything wrong to us? When you say friend, who is a friend? Is a friend, does he do anything wrong? I'm sure you all have friends, no? Friends. But a friend is the one who will. Surudham sarva bhutanam. He is your friend. So in the worst possible situation in life, I know I'm speaking here sitting, I don't know how you'll be tested. But in the worst possible situation, he's still your friend. Is your friend only when, is your friend when there is real crisis, so much reversal. But you just remember, he is my friend, he is doing everything good for me, I am sure. So at least that knowledge and some understanding will give some perception, and that peace will arise in the heart of whoever is facing this problem. So we learn from other people's problem. May not be today, it's him, tomorrow my turn. So, but Krishna is in control. Krishna is in control of everything. There's no way that maybe Krishna has forgotten. No, Krishna is in control of everything. He is there in between atoms and he is within atoms. Right? Brahma Samhita, these words, it says, Eko pasau rachitam jagadanda koti. Everywhere is there. But we, our perception is, where is he? So this is the devotional service process. That is what is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means to make us aware of that Paramatma which is there in our heart. So we are never alone. It's very nice, no? We are never alone. Once one devotee was asked this, so are you alone? The person who is very realized, he is a realized person, he will never say that he is alone, because he has that perception that Paramatma is there with him always. And what type of Paramatma? My friend, my well-wisher, always guiding me. Only our rebellious attitude, you know, not to accept, to live an independent life and justify all the wrong things what we are doing, to justify it. And if you have that desire, what he does? Okay, fine. Hari Bol. Now there will be no guilt. Go on. So that is why guilt, when guilt arises, it's a gift. You go on. And you go on. You go on. And how are you doing it? Full justification. No one can preach us, Prabhu, you are doing wrong. No, I am right. Because Paramatma has withdrawn the mercy. We justify it. Like it is said that there are sometimes we may be so many anarthas may be there, but we are not even aware of it. It is something like, what's wrong? What is wrong in that? It's just like, you know, I'm brushing teeth. But is there anything wrong? Imagine the ignorance it can push you to. So it is in one of Maharaj's class, he is saying that sometimes in English they say that a one who is very sinful, you know, he's just committing sinful activities and he's not even... So he says this, he's a man of no conscience. No conscience means he is not even sensitive. He's not even aware of it. So this is one state of consciousness where the mercy is not there. So we are fortunate, at least we have devotees, we have knowledge, we have Krishna just waiting for us. Waiting, Krishna is always in the same posture, right? But he is waiting. Isn't he waiting like for all of us? Turn, come, I am there, embrace. So we are all fortunate. I hope I answered your question. You can say that. This way we can preach ourselves and others, and problems will be there. Krishna consciousness is for purification. And the process of purification is always painful. I don't think any process of purification can be very... No doubt it is said, Kevala Ananda Khanda. Definitely, yes. Actually, yes, it is also joyful. Just in the association of devotees. Yeah, it is joyful in the association of devotees. I think we all have our experience. I think Krishnanam Prabhu, you will agree, right? Because we are in the association of devotees, I think we can definitely have some of our experiences. We sometimes never perceive that. Oh, it just passed timing, you know. It's got a beginning and an end. It goes. Why you didn't pursue? Because you're association of devotees. Kevala Ananda Kanda. Because, you know, Krishna's mercy was so... But anyway, Krishna can not that so confident that you can say that it's always Kevala Ananda Kanda. He'll be trick, squeeze, and then he'll say, where is Kevala Ananda Kanda? But there will be always someone Kevala Ananda. Someone who's experiencing Ananda in their association. I may not be, but he has got it. Let me be with him, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Krantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.